Ephesians chapter 4. We have been looking at the last few verses of Ephesians chapter 4. We started looking at verse 25 through the end of the book of chapter 4. And what we have begun to discover is that within those few verses is that there are some specific sins to be discarded. But not only that, there are some virtues that are to be replaced, and then there are the motives for such an exchange. And we looked at a few weeks ago, I want to thank Brother Bob for filling in on last week, we looked at verse 25. And what we discovered from verse 25 is that lying is to be replaced by truth telling, since Christians are fellow members of the body of Christ. And then we looked at verse 26 and 27, and that is sin for anger is to be replaced by righteous indignation, that the devil may not be given an opportunity. And so we just talked about that we shouldn't allow the devil a foothold in our lives. And so we don't give him an opportunity. And that's what we looked at. And so tonight we're going to look at verse 28 through the remaining of these verses. And verse 28, what we're going to find is that theft is to be replaced by honest work in order that one may have the means to meet the needs of others. So let's look at verse 28. In verse 28 he says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Now notice what he says. He says, now let him that stole steal no more. Now what we need to find and understand about this steal no more is that stealing in any form is a sin. Stealing in any form, regardless, is a sin, and it has no part in the life of a Christian. We shouldn't be guilty. That ought to have been something, maybe we've done that in the past, before we became a Christian. Once you become a Christian, you ought to leave that stuff alone. You shouldn't be, oh man, he's still stealing. Well, you're still living in your old life. Because guess what? You got a new life now. You are living, you are a Christian. And so that shouldn't be a part of our new life. And so, but guess what? He says, rather let him do what? Let him work. Let him work producing what is beneficial. When you look in Exodus 20 and 15, you know there was the Ten Commandments, right? And if you look at verse 15, one of the commandments was what? Thou shall not steal. That was one of the commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 15. And so the alternative to stealing is to provide for oneself, to provide for one's family and others what is God honoring through honesty, through honorable means. And so when you look at 2 Thessalonians, let's look at that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 10 and 11. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busy bodies." Now, if you're a busy body, you need to be finding you something to do. And so he talks about these things. And so we need to understand that what we have to do, what do we need to replace it with, is right here in the text. Let's go back. Look at the text. Let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's see what we have to replace that with. Why do we do? Why do we do that? Why do we provide things that that is honest? Because he goes on and says that he may have to give to him that what? Need it. And so the purpose is a Christian not only should harm no one, as we talked about, but should continually endeavor to help those who are in need. Our responsibility as Christians is that we ought to be able to help others who are in need. Even Jesus did that. And so a Christian desire to earn more, and we all want to earn more, don't we? Oh, yeah, yeah. There's nothing wrong with, hey, I want to have a little more money, right? What about you? So it's nothing wrong with earning more. But guess what? Once we earn something, the more we earn, the more we ought to be giving. The more we ought to be doing to help somebody else along the way. And so the purpose of being able to give more is to help more. And so, because guess what? One of these days when we leave here, we can sit up there, man, we can store up millions and millions and millions of dollars, but when you die, what are a million going to go to? Is it going to go to you? No. It's going to be left to somebody else. Because guess what? We brought nothing into this world. And the Bible said it is certain that we carry nothing out. And so beyond providing for your own, beyond providing for your family basic needs, you gain so that you can not only provide for your family, but you can be able to help somebody else. You can be able to help somebody else along the way. And guess what? There's a lot of opportunities that we can help folks. You know, it's not always, you know, well, let's see, that you're the church. Yeah, church has a responsibility to help. But when you can, and if you got the means to help somebody, you know, you do so. You reach in your pocket and you help somebody along the way. And so we see here, we see here that that verse 28 says that let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the thing which are good, that he may have to give to him. There it is, that needed. And then verse number 29, he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Foul language. That's what he's talking about. Foul language. Those words that you can't find in the dictionary. Foul language is to be replaced by gracious speech. What do you mean? That it may what? Our job is to do what? Edify one another. To lift up one another. To build up one another. That's what we need to be about doing. We shouldn't be about, you know, fouling, tearing one another down. You know, we get enough tearing each other down in the world. And when people come into the Lord's house, they want something to lift them up, to build them up, to help them to go on another day. And so that our job is to edify, but also we need to understand, when you talk about that corrupt communication, unwholesome communication. And the word for unwholesome refers to that which is foul or rotten. That's what it refers to, such as spoiled fruit. You know, when you got that spoiled fruit, you know, it's bad, right? You don't eat spoiled fruit. And so we need to understand, foul language of any sort should never pass a Christian's lips. Let me say that again. Foul language of any sort should never pass a Christian's lips. Oh, you might have been using some words back then before you became a Christian. And it's sad that some of them still using some words after they become a Christian. But that shouldn't be. That shouldn't be. That should not become a Christian. And so we need to be a, because it's totally out of character of your new life. Because you are what? You are a child of God. And as a child of God, we need to act Christ-like. Well, why do we need to act Christ-like? Why do we need to be Christ-like? Because folk are watching you. People are looking at you. They might not say nothing, but they're watching you. They watch how you conduct yourself in the grocery store. They watch how you conduct, you know, conduct yourself out in the neighborhood. And people know how you conduct yourself in the Lord's house. Because there are some folk that are watching you. Our children are watching us. And they're patterning their lives over us. And so we have to be careful. We got to be setting an example for the world to see, for our families to see, and even for the church. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 8. Colossians 3 and verse 8. Look what he says. But now, ye also put off all these. Now, see this? There are some things that you got to put off. You can, as a child of God, you can no longer have these things in you. You got to learn how to put them off. What are they? He says, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and here it is, filthy communication. Filthy communication. You got to put that stuff, what is that, out of your mouth. And, somebody, they say, I said, so, oop, that slipped. As a man thinketh in his heart. So, no, that didn't slip. You intended saying that. Because guess what we need to do? We all need to think before we say anything. Because technically, we are made up of people who just sit up there and say what we need to say without even thinking. We do. And then when it's come out, oh man, that come out wrong. That come out bad. So we have to get in a habit. We got to learn how to do these things. Use whatever we say to edify. And so we have to ask ourselves questions. Is what I'm saying, is it lifting somebody up? Or is it turning somebody down? Because I want to always be about lifting somebody up, encouraging somebody along the way. So the Christian speech should be encouraging. It should be uplifting. And so look at Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs has some good things to say in Proverbs. When we look at Proverbs 15, and start with that in Proverbs 15 in verse 23. In Proverbs 15 and verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Let's go to chapter 25 and verse 11 of Proverbs. Chapter 25 and verse 11. And let's see what he has to say about that. He says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. And so it means something. It means something how we speak. It ought to be grace unto the hearers, according to Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 6. And so, why is that? Because we have been saved by grace. Are y'all with me? We've been saved by grace. We have been kept by grace. Not only saved by grace, but we are kept by grace, and therefore we should live and speak with grace. Let your words always be seasoned with salt. And so it's very important. Well, why is that? Because our Lord has already set the standard. Look over there in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And let's see what standard did Jesus set. In Luke chapter 4 and verse number 22. Luke 4 and verse 22. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Is not this Joseph's son? What kind of words was it? It was gracious words. It was encouraging words. It was uplifting words. Because you and I need to understand that out of the issues of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so if evil communication come out of your mouth, guess what? You have an evil heart. Because he said, out of the issues of the heart, the mouth speaking. James even said something, right? He says, he talks about that tongue. It has what? It blessings. And out of the same mouth, it has curse and blessings. He said, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. James 4, I believe, verse 10. So what is he saying? You sense it up there and you're cursing one minute and all of a sudden you're being nice the next minute. No. Out of the same mouth, it has that. He said that shouldn't be. Because guess what? If evil communication comes out of your mouth, then you have an evil heart. But a heart that is stayed upon God, a heart that is stayed upon God will say good things that will build one another up. Huh? 3:10. Okay, thank you. I know I was in that vicinity. I know it's somewhere in there. James 3, verse 10. All right, thank you. And so we need to understand that. So what are you doing? As you're talking to people, on your job, wherever, what's coming out of your mouth? Is it things that can encourage somebody? Lift one another up? Or not? And so that's why it's important every day. You ought to ask God, God, help me. Help me to say the right thing. Help me to do the right thing, because, Lord, I want to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. So we have to be willing to do that. Every day we get up out of our beds, you ask God to help you. Help you with some things that you're struggling with, that you be the example that you should be. Because, Lord, I want when people see me, I want them to see the Christ in me. That's why Matthew 5:16 said, let your light so shine that others can see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But we already know, James already talks about the tongue. that the tongue is exceedingly difficult to control. It's right there. James talks about that. Let's go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and let's see what James had to say about the tongue. That's why, y'all, we have to learn. Again, we have to learn because it's not natural. It's not natural for us, you know, to say things good. Because we are made up, believe it or not, I've said it many times, we are made up of negative people. If you look on TV, what's all coming on at the beginning? You don't see nothing coming on positive at the beginning. It's always what? Negative. It was just see the negative. And so in James chapter 3, let's see what James says. We're going to start with verse number 6. He says now, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. He says that it defieth the whole body, setteth on course, fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. Every beast, every kind of beast, of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude, a likeness of God. And there it is. Out of the same mouth proceed or comes blessings and cursing. And my brethren, these things ought not so to be. We have to learn how to control our tongue. Because if we don't, guess what? It's going to get away from us. We're going to say things that's harmful, that's hurtful. And so we have to, you know, we have to make sure that what I say, is it going to be uplifting? Is it going to be encouraging to somebody along the way? And then verse 30, he says, let's go back to Ephesians. Verse 30, he uses the negative thing in verse number 30. He talks about the Holy Spirit, grieving the Holy Spirit. So in verse 30, after he has said in verse 29 that let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying of the body of Christ. And then he says now, edifying that it may minister the grace unto the hearer. And grieve not, here it is, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So a powerful motivation for putting off unwholesome talk is that not to do so will grieve the Holy Spirit. Listen, all sin are painful to God. All sin is painful to God. But sin in his children breaks his heart. Man, when we sin, don't you know it grieves God when we mess up, when we do wrong? And you ought to thank God that he has given us an avenue that when we mess up, that we can come back to him, that we can be in fellowship with him. So when we refuse, when a child of God refuses to change the ways of the old life into the new life, it grieves God. God is grieved. The Holy Spirit weeps. And so So we have to understand what happens when we speak lies instead of truth. It grieves God. It grieves God. What happens when we say things that we shouldn't be saying and using those words that's not in the dictionary? We grieve God. We grieve God. And so we become unrighteously instead of righteous. And that's what we need to understand. So he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So Paul asks, in effect, is this. How can we do that which is so displeasing to the one who have sealed us to the day of judgment? In other words, how can we treat God like this? What have God done to us that we treat him so bad? That we don't do what he say? That we won't obey his word? What has he done? God has done nothing but good to us. God blesses us in spite of us. Each and when we don't do right, God still blesses us. And so Paul is saying, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Because God has put a stamp of approval on his children. Y'all listen, you are important to God. You are important to God. Why is that? Because if you weren't important to God, he wouldn't have sent his son to die on the cross. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life on Calvary. So the question comes again. How can we grieve the one who is our helper, the one who is our teacher? He's our advocate, and he takes up divine residency in our lives. How can we treat him this way? And so we have to understand that he has sealed us by being his child. When we obey him, when we do what he said, he sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit he's the guarantor of eternal redemption in Christ for those who believe. And then he ends up by saying, listen, what you need to do is you got to get rid of some stuff. You got to do away some things. And he started listing them. He summarizes the change of the life of the believer that was mentioned in verse 17 through verse number 30. And then he says, let all bitterness, wrath. Bitterness reflects a smoldering resentment. Let all bitterness, wrath. Wrath has to do with rage, the passion of the moment. Anger is more internal. It's a deep hostility. He says clamor. Clamor is the outcry of strife out of control. Slander is evil speaking. Malice is a term for evil, the root of all vices. These sins involve conflict. But guess what? It involves conflict with person and person, believer and unbeliever, worse, believers and believers. We should do away with this stuff. Because guess what it's going to do? It weakens the fellowship. It breaks the unity of the church. And do you not know it will mar our testimony to the world? So that's why he says you do away with these things. But what do you need to replace them with? Verse 32, he says, and be ye kind one to another. Oh, how much that's so needed in the Church of Christ. It's needed not only in the Church of Christ, but it's needed throughout this world. That we need to be kind to one another. We need to be tender-hearted with one another. But watch this. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. If we expect God to forgive us of our trespasses, then guess what? We got to learn. No, we don't need to learn. We got to do. We got to forgive one another. We got to learn to forgive one another. We got to learn how to treat each other right. And the problem that we have in the Lord's church, we wound our own. We constantly hurting our own. We bring down our own. We get enough of that. The world give us enough of that. But in the church, you ought to be able to find some forgiveness. You ought to be able to find some love. You ought to be able to find, you know, all of these things. When people come among us, what they need to see in the Lord's house, and I'm called, what they need to see when they come among us is if they want to see some love, they ought to see it in the Church of Christ. If they want to see how folks are kind to one another, they ought to be able to see it in the Church of Christ. If they want to see folk forgiving one another, they ought to be able to see what it looks like in the Church of Christ. They ought to be able to see all of these things. They ought to be able to see it in the Lord's house. And if they don't see it, we need to take a look at ourselves. Because we are the light. People are looking now. They're looking for love. They're looking for some encouragement and lifting up. And they ought to be able to find it right here in the Lord's house. All right? So next week, Lord's willing, we're going to be looking at the overview of chapter 5. Begin to look at chapter 5 because it's very, very enlightening. When you get down to around about verse 15, it's when it's really going to get. It talks about some things in verse 15, how we need to do. At the beginning, he talks about fornication. He talks about all of these things. And then he gets down to talks about how we need to walk, how we need to talk, how we need to live our lives. So again, we just want to thank you for listening, not only in person, but we want to thank those who have called in to our conference call. Thank you for tuning in. This time I'm going to go over the prayer requests.